The scriptures tell us many stories about mothers and their children. And on this Mother's Day, one story that caught my interest comes from the Old Testament, from the book of Exodus, chapter 2. That story takes place probably a little after 1300 BC, when the people of Israel were slaves in the land of Egypt. And in this story, we encounter a young wife and mother named Jochebed, who gives birth to a son. Now, this was a time when Pharaoh had ordered that all newborn Hebrew baby boys had to be killed. So how was this mother going to save her newborn son's life? You probably remember the story, how she wove a basket and made it watertight and then put her little son into it and floated it among the reeds beside the bank of the Nile River, a place that surely nobody would ever go looking for a baby. But who ends up finding the baby? By chance, but Pharaoh's daughter. And she was moved with pity and adopted the baby boy as her own and named him Moses. But she gave Moses back to Jochebed, not knowing that she was his mother, to nurse for a time before Moses would then come to live in the royal house. What had happened to the relationship between young baby Moses and his mother Jochebed? She had entrusted him to the water to save him, and he had been saved. But he had also been changed. Raised from the water, he was still her son, and yet now he was royalty. Jochebed's motherhood would never be the same. We are now a full 5 weeks into the Easter season. And 5 weeks ago, on Good Friday, we remembered how another mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, lost her son, and his dead body was taken down from the cross and lowered into the tomb. But 3 days later, she got him back when he was raised from the dead on Easter Sunday. She got him back, and yet he too had been changed. He had never been an ordinary son. He had always been true God and true man. But now, even the body that she had given him had been transformed in the resurrection, of which he was the first fruits. And before too many more years passed, she then joined him as the second of those fruits, when she was assumed taken up into heaven, and when her body too was transformed in the resurrection. And she is there with him at this moment. Our Lady's motherhood had never been ordinary, but after Easter Sunday, it would never be the same. So Jochebed and Mary, are these two stories unusual? Do they only happen to those two women? Or can it be that every mother and father here knows what it is like to experience this transformation? What has Easter done to Mother's Day? One of the great symbols of Easter is the baptismal font, because that water is the sacramental means by which we enter into Christ's death so that we may rise with him to new life, by which we gain the fruits of his Easter passage from death to life in the transformation of our souls in baptism. Now we know that there are a couple different ways of being baptized. And the option of being baptized by being completely immersed in that water, for which that font is not nearly big enough, that is the best illustration, the best way of communicating the truth of what happens in every baptism by whatever method. For as we see a person go down completely into the water and then come back up, then we really see with our eyes what St. Paul wrote. We are indeed buried with him through baptism into death, so that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live in newness of life. Now surely every father and mother here remembers the day when you brought each of your children to the font for baptism. Perhaps this very font, or one in another church building. Probably each of those children had been born only weeks or months before, and you had cared for them, you had provided for them, and protected them with great love, great devotion. And yet you knew that just like young baby Moses so many years ago, there was a great danger that faced them that you could not save them from. For each of your baby boys and baby girls was born with the stain of original sin on their soul. And this was a stain that you could not wash away, no matter what household products you may have purchased. And so you brought your water to baptism, because you knew who could wash that stain away, and you gave him or her to the risen Christ. Probably your baby was baptized through the option of water being poured over their forehead. But even if they were not fully immersed, the reality was the same. That day, your baby went down into the tomb with Christ and then was raised back up with him to new life. And there is even more than that in the reality of baptism. In Rome, at the St. John Lateran Basilica, in the baptistry, there is an inscription that reads, "At this font, the Church, our Mother, gives birth from her virginal womb to the children she conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit." The baptismal font is, sacramentally, Christ's tomb. And so it is also the womb of the Church from which we are born to Christ's new life. And so, the child you received back that day from baptism was still your son, your daughter, and yet they had been changed. Their soul had been permanently changed to be like Christ, to be close to Christ, to share in his resurrection life. They had been adopted in Christ. God was now their Father, and the Church, and indeed Mary, the figure of the Church, was now their mother. At that moment, it was your son or daughter that you held in your arms, and yet it was God's son, God's daughter, that you held in your arms. Because of Easter, from that moment on, your motherhood or your fatherhood would never be the same. So what does that all mean? Well, let's imagine for a moment. One day, you're at home, and the doorbell rings. And you open the door, and you find President and Mrs. Obama standing on the doorstep with their two young daughters, Malia and Sasha. And the Obamas say to you, "We love our daughters very much, but we have decided that the public life in the White House just is not a good place for them to grow up. So we want to ask you if you would care for them during these years, if you would raise them during these years that we are in the White House. Would you do that for us?" What an extraordinary moment that would be. And what kinds of things would quickly go through your head? First, what an honor to be asked to care for and raise the president's children. Who gets asked that? In honor, you would suddenly be raised above everyone you knew. And yet, at the same time, what a task. What a burden. What would it take to carry that out? How many years would it last? How could you ever do it? Could you ever say yes to that request? And if you did say yes, well then, for the next 4 or 8 years, an awful lot in your life would have to change. Keeping up with the Joneses next door? Who cares about the Joneses? All the little ways you like to pass your time, those might have to be set aside. Because the great question that would shape your life during those years would be, how do you raise the daughters of a president? How do you raise them to be who they are now? To be who they need to be in the future? In the future life that awaits them because who they are? And truly, you would also wonder, why me? Out of all the people in the country, why would the president and the first lady ask me to raise their daughters? All of these thoughts would go through your head in this imaginary situation. But all of that and much more was the reality that began that day when you went to the baptismal font and a son or daughter of God was placed back in your arms, and God the Father said to you, would you raise them for me for 18 years or so? For that child in your arms had become the dwelling place of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. As we heard Christ say in today's Gospel reading, my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. It would be possible for someone who came near your child to kneel down and pray because they were in the presence of the Blessed Trinity indwelling in your child. And where is your child headed? In their future. It's the new heavens and the new earth that we heard about in the second reading, where it's described in terms of gold and radiance, jasper, sapphire, emerald, pearl, and amethyst, and the beatific vision, seeing God himself face to face. And if you wonder, why me? Well, in our imaginary situation with the president and the first lady, it would indeed be a mystery. But in your reality with Christ, it is not. For you yourself are an adopted daughter or son of the King of Kings since your baptism. You have that divine life within you, that indwelling by the persons of the Blessed Trinity, if you have not killed it through mortal sin. And who better to raise one daughter or son of the King of Kings than another one? For after baptism, your son or daughter is now your brother or sister in Christ. And this younger brother or sister in Christ needs your help to walk that straight and narrow way, all the way through their life, to reach the New Jerusalem. Which is why, at their baptism, you promised to train them in the practice of the faith and to bring them up to keep God's commandments, as Christ taught us, by loving God and our neighbor. What an honor. What a burden. Like Jochebed, like Mary, because of Easter, your motherhood, your fatherhood, has never been the same. Now there is one person who understands exactly what you have gone through or will go through in the future, who knows what it's like to be small and finite and asks to fill an infinite role. For 2,000 years ago, she opened her door to find not the President of the United States, but the Archangel Gabriel, inviting her to become the mother of the only begotten Son of God. The life of our Blessed Virgin Mary was quite a roller coaster, moving between joys and sorrows. And in just a few moments, we will give her special honor during this month of May. Let the Blessed Mother be your constant companion as you live out your motherhood and fatherhood in Christ. What has Easter done to Mother's Day? Well, today, many of you will receive hugs and kisses, cards, flowers, phone calls, maybe even brunch. And it will have been well earned. And one day, you will look into the eyes of our Lord Jesus Christ. And on that day, may you hear from his lips, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come, share your master's joy."